the elevation of the cross when St. Helen finds it in Jerusalem is just another good reminder to us that there's no Christianity without Christ and no Christ without the cross. And just like often in the scriptures we're warned about there being false Christs, people that are lookalikes, people that promise the things that the Christ is supposed to bring, it's also true that in many respects there's a lot of false crosses that populate our culture, making the claims that sort of mimic or shadow what the true cross gives us. So in the same way that there's no Christianity without the true Christ, not the false Christ, there's also no Christ without the true cross, not the manufactured crosses that we come across. This comes in many different ways. We're often tempted to believe and to say, oh, so-and-so is my cross, when so-and-so is irritating me. And it's a very unfortunately pious way to be critical of the person. We say it in contexts in which we want people to know that this person's a real irritant, and I'm suffering so piously, putting up with them. This is a false cross. We just shouldn't talk that way. We should just banish it from our thinking, because other people are not my cross in that sense. We bear a cross together, we share a cross, but first and foremost, my cross are my sins, my brokenness, my deviating from Christ. When I have to deny myself and take up my cross and follow Christ, I have to take totality of who I am, not drawing attention to myself, but just following after Christ and being nailed to the cross with him, having my sins nailed to the cross with him. So as I said yesterday, he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. He takes all of those sins that we're willing to give him, not hang on to, not hold back on, but tangibly, experientially, hand them over to him. So I'm sure there's many different theological ways to describe the true cross, but I think experientially this piece really gives us two very simple ways to think about the true cross. The first is the elevation of it. If in our lives the cross is elevated, raised high, brought up, stands out, is important to us, maybe even just like as Emmett was mentioning yesterday, in our homes there's a cross, and maybe it's prominent, and maybe when we go by it we remember the cross. Or maybe it's a part of our prayer routine and our prayer corners. But there's some way in which the cross is elevated in our life, and of course for Orthodox, it's common for us to make the sign of the cross throughout our lives and throughout the day. And this is typically misunderstood and confused by the world. The cross in general is confused by the world. I remember several years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, being in Best Buy, and a woman asked me if I was Jewish, and I said no, and I picked up my cross, and I said, no, I wear a cross. She was totally bewildered. She didn't have any idea what that meant. It didn't, it's like she's total cultural unawareness that a Jew wouldn't go around wearing a cross around his neck. And so there's this confusion about this. But in the course of life too, I remember once, maybe more like 7 or 8 years ago, I was over in, actually in Amish country over by Homer, doing some shopping with a friend. And we got to leave a little store, and she was telling me stories about different things, and I made the sign of the cross, and she just stopped, stone cold, mid-sentence. There was a strange silence. I looked over at her, and she said, what did I do wrong? I said, I don't know, what did you do wrong? And she said, you made the sign of the cross. I said, I always make the sign of the cross when I'm getting in the car to go somewhere. And she said, oh, I thought I did something wrong. Here's a strange thing, is that the cross, sure, the Holy Spirit enlightens us of our sins. I don't mean that. But there's this kind of fear that was expressed, that the cross is something that I should be, like, afraid of. It's to judge me. It's to condemn me. It's harsh. I think that's a common misconception. We heard in yesterday's gospel that Jesus said, when speaking of the cross, the Son of Man didn't come in the world to condemn the world, he came in the world to save it. And so when we hear about the cross or see someone making the sign of the cross, our hearts should kind of rejoice and be light and delighted. Not the sense of condemnation, but the sense of relief and release. Regardless of whether we know why they're making it, maybe we did say something wrong and they're praying for us. Well, that would be a good thing. I remember a time many years ago when I used to travel more. I was on the airplane and we were about to take off and I made the sign of the cross. And the woman next to me leaned over and tapped me on the arm and she said, "Oh, it'll be okay. These are safe." Well, oh, and she said, "Don't be afraid. It'll be okay. Don't be afraid. These will be safe." And I thought, well, this is very strange. I do, and the older I do get a little bit more afraid of flying. I don't know what it is, but I am aware. There's something right about what she said. But I wasn't thinking about making the sign of the cross there so much because I was afraid, but because, you want Christ with you when you travel. You want Christ with you all the time. You want to be always united and associated with the cross. But I thought, in retrospect, this is kind of another strange understanding of the cross, is that, it's for sort of weak people who are afraid. Well, I mean, it is for weak people who are afraid. That's me, that's all of us, but it's really for our sins. It's not sort of like, if you were big and strong and courageous, you wouldn't have to make the sign of the cross because, you wouldn't be afraid. No, I have to make the sign of the cross because I'm sinful. Because whether I'm, even if I weren't sinful, I want Christ to be with me. I don't want to do things alone. I'm called to be together with Him. I'm called to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him, be with Him. Unite our lives together so that we're co-crucified. So there's lots of ways, I think, in which if we just make the sign of the cross in our daily life, the world will misinterpret it. Sometimes they might even quite dislike it. But this is different ways in which we can elevate the cross in our life and put up with being misunderstood or some confusion in the world. There's not that many Orthodox in the United States, comparatively, by percent. But can you imagine if all of the Orthodox that were here in the United States were just regularly making the sign of the cross wherever we went, all throughout the world, just because it was not the sort of evangelize people or because we sort of want to draw attention to ourselves, but just because that was a part of our life. And, in the old countries, it's like every time you go by a church, you make the sign of the cross, but there's churches everywhere. So people are making the sign of the cross all the time. And it's just a part of the culture and the life, but we don't really have that here. But we have to find ways to elevate the cross. This is what I'm trying to say. If we want to have the true cross, it has to somehow be elevated. We have to be the ones, like St. Macarius, who elevates the cross on this feast. And then the second way we might be able to tell if we're really worshiping at the true cross is whether or not we have the response of the people. One is to be like Macarius, who raises, and the other is to be the response. We fall down on our face and say, "Lord, have mercy." If the cross is a nice adornment that we wear and we're happy to go, "Oh, that's such a beautiful cross, where did you get that?" And we think it's a bit of a piece of jewelry, well, then that's really not falling down on them saying, "Lord, have mercy." If we just have a cross somehow present in our home or in our life, but it doesn't provoke in us this awareness, this desire to fall on our face before it. When we say to worship and fall down, extol the Lord our God and worship or fall down at His holy footstool, the cross is called the footstool of Christ, for He's holy. So somehow the cross needs to manifest itself in our lives in such a way that we experience that holiness of God and cry out to Him for His mercy. Not because He's hesitant to give it to us, but because when we say, "Lord, have mercy," we're sort of opening to the doors to the mercy that God's pouring out on us. We're receiving it. We're saying, "Yes, I want what it is that You are providing, what You give." We're not convincing God to do something that He doesn't want to do. We're receiving from Him what He longs to give us. Even knowing that we don't deserve it, we don't receive it because of any great works or deeds that we've done. And I think probably most of us, in many ways in our life, we have practical misconceptions of who Christ is and practical misconceptions of the cross, because it's easy to get pulled into the ways of thinking of the world. So little by little, we're simply asking God to purify us, show us who the true Christ is, so that we worship the true Christ and not a false Christ. And show us what the true cross is in our lives, so that we worship at the proper footstool, the footstool of Christ. We worship at the cross that's the true cross, and not one that's of our own making or of the world's making. It's a process. God's not impatient with us, but we have to be willing to put ourselves on that path. We have to be willing to offer ourselves to Him to be so changed and transformed and enlightened that our misconceptions are being replaced by the proper conceptions. And we'll notice that in our lives if we find ourselves more and more prone to want to exalt the cross in our own life, not as a sign of a show or going attention to ourselves, but in our own life, in our hearts, manifested in our bodies too, and also falling down before it, asking Him for His mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.